So I want to go into what I felt the Lord lay on my heart this morning. And maybe if you can put that slide up. The biggest lie. What's the biggest lie ever told? No, it's not, I'll phone you back. Okay, that's not the biggest lie. I have read the terms and conditions and understood it. No, that's not the biggest lie either. Think about it. What's the biggest lie ever told in this world? So let me recap. So for 2 weeks, I've been preaching out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. And we looked at the measure of Christ's gift. We looked at how much He's given us, what He's given us, that He has given us a gift. And it's also, then we started looking at that God gave gifts to all men. That word there is anthropos. That's in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. It means all men and all women. God has given. If you saved, if you're sitting here this morning, you're a born again believer, God's given you a gift. But we look around in the church and we kind of go, why does Rhea have a gift that's different to mine? And maybe she's got more and we look around and Johannes like, yo man, God's just like given him like so much gifts, you know? And we look around in the church and we start murmuring exactly what Paul says to the Philippian church. And we feel like we got shortchanged in the kingdom. How come my gift is smaller or more insignificant? And we kind of put the different gifts to one another and we against one another, and we're gonna go, well, that guy's a teacher, but I'm just administrative, you know. Or my gift is celibacy or whatever your gift might be. I wanna say to you that you actually have got no right to say any of those things. You can't say about, you know, and I use the analogy and if there's a piece of cake and I say to Jopie, jy sny en jy kies. Jy sê, Jopie, jy gaan seker maak dat daai stuk koek in die middel is, oupaat. Dat hy niks meer kry nie. Dat jy nie geshortchanged word op hierdie stukkie koek nie. Jy gaan een paar radius kwadraat uitwerk hier so hou. Dis wat jy gaan doen. Probleem is, the thing is this. God decides what piece of cake you're gonna get. God decides on the piece that you get. The day that He created you is that day that He decided what you're gonna get. He's given you gifts. That's the allotted portion. Paul, I'm sure, kind of wondered many times, God, why did you make me an apostle? Why did you do this? Why did you put the church and all this stuff on me? Why did you do that? But that's his allotted portion. That's what God gave him. Christ is the one who made sure how the piece was cut. He is the one who made those kinds of decisions. You see, so often in the body of Christ, we don't realize that. We are jealous of others. We are envious of others. We want somebody else's ministry. We want somebody else's gifts without realizing anything short of hell is just grace. Just to have a gift at all is certainly beyond what any of us deserve. You see, and the word for grace is charis, and it means that which you don't deserve. So the same word that is used for grace is used for gift. That which you don't deserve. We talk about the charismatic gifts or charismata. That's what we talk about. And the word charis means grace. And we all received something. Okay, so you need to stick with me this morning because I'm going to kind of go backwards in coming forward. So Christ is the source of every bit. But today I would like to look at the biggest lie ever told, like I just put up there for you guys. And what would you say is that lie? Anybody? What would you say is that lie? You're not good enough? Anybody else? You don't have a gift? Anybody else? Ooh, nou. Nou, nou raak jy aan diep dinge. I like it. I like the way you think. Because that is where we need to go to. Where the biggest lie was ever told to mankind. That life could be found somewhere outside of God the Creator. That's the search of humanity. That we don't need God. That we can do this. You see, there's a saying that says, God created man in his image and man returned the favor. Man tried to make God in his image. So what we do is we downsize God. God says, no, 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 no. I'm God. I am the supreme. I'm the sovereign one. I'm the standard. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. You need to set yourself and your compass to me, not to anything else. You will not find life. I promise you, I have tried this for a very long time in my life, trying to find life outside of Jesus Christ. I tried to fill it with women, with drugs, with alcohol, with everything imaginable, just to get that kick, just to feel good, just to, you know, just that life. I want to be the life of the party. I want to be the guy that's in. And everything that I did from a very young age, I did because I wanted to be in. I wanted to hang with the in crowd. I wanted to talk like the in crowd. I wanted to do certain things. As a surfer, you have to carry a surfboard in a certain way. You can watch a highway surfer. We used to call them highway surfers. A cook. You could watch a cook, you know, with his surfboard skegs on the outside, carrying it like this. You know, it's like it's dragging behind him. And we wouldn't want to associate with a guy like that. Why? Because he wasn't cool enough. We did all these things because we wanted to belong. Each one of us, each one of you, did certain things in your life because you wanted to be noticed. The biggest lie ever told is this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? You see, that's the seed of doubt that is sown. That's the first thing. Like, you know, God says something to you, Yopi, but then the Satan comes in. Did God really say that, Yopi? And then you start doubting. Did God really actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. Come on. God's just kidding with you, man. He's pulling your leg here. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That is the lie right there, that you will be like God. And none of us is God. That position is taken and he will rule supremely and sovereignly. You and I can never be God. In actual fact, I think if I was God, there would be less people on planet Earth. They will feel my wrath. I will kill them all. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, people, it's not like she's lacking food yet. This is not like a food network little culinary delight that she needs to have, you know? This is not one of those things. And it was a delight to the eyes. Oh, it's so beautiful. I have to eat it. She wasn't hungry. It was the selfishness in her that was pulling her towards this thing. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. The God of all wisdom. Walk with me quickly. The God of all wisdom takes on a bodily form. And during the day, in the cool of the day, the Bible says, he walks and he talks with Adam and Eve. The God of all wisdom. Do you think she needs wisdom? No. She needs nothing. She needs God. She needs to stay obedient to Him. But she knows that I will be wise. Wise in my own eyes. She took off its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. What was the hook? What was the thing that hooked her? Not that the forbidden fruit looked good and that it was good for food. No. Yes, the fruit was food and it looked good. But the serpent sold something different to Eve, and she desired. What he sold, God's creature, was the hope that she could be in the Creator's place. He couldn't do it. He was kicked out because he wanted to put himself above God. He wanted to sit in the seat of God, in the throne of God. God kicked him out. Then he says, well, then I'm going to take your creation with me. I'm going to let your creature desire that. And I will create a hope within them that they will be a God in their own eyes. She could be like him. She could have a wisdom that did not depend on God. She could be at the center of everything. She could experience glory only reserved for God. They were after God's very position. The glory that he deserves. And this is what sin did to all of us. To every single one of us. This is what sin. We were born into this. You don't become a sinner. There's some erroneous teachings that you're born good and then, no, a day old baby is a sinner. When that baby comes out of the womb, that baby is born into sin, the Bible says. Sin replaced worship of God with worship of self. So I'm going to touch on some things in our lives right now, in my life. This is not a comprehensive list, and I would love you to actually go look at these things during the week. But now, submission is against self-rule, or self-rule is against submission. So I can do this myself. My kids, they're classic examples. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. All our kids have been there. Self-rule. That's what it is. Sure, let your kid develop and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, it's that ingrained sin within our hearts that I want to rule myself. I don't need leadership. I don't need guys to listen to. I don't need guys to tell me. I don't want to listen to my community leader. I don't want to submit. Wives, why do I need a husband? Men, I'm on dangerous ground now because I can get locked up for what I'm about to say. Self-rule. We're demanding. The Bible says we need to have gratitude in our hearts. The sin nature is demanding. The nature of the Creator is gratitude. Self-reliance is the nature of sin. Faith is the nature of God. Envy of others. Envy of others. Like I just said, oh, he's got a better gift than me. Envy of others is the sin nature. But joy that I can celebrate with the gifts that I have amongst me. Well, he's an apostle. Why can't I be an apostle? He's an evangelist. Why can't I be an evangelist? Remember the cake. It's your allotted portion. He's given you. He decides sovereignly. You see, we struggle to rest in Christ because it's all about personal control. It's about our glory, our rules, our agendas. It's all about that. We hate to wait for things. We're an instant gratification generation. We're selfish. We don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to stand in a line. I don't want to wait for something. I want it now. Selfishness. We get upset when we don't have and have to go without. That's me. I get upset when I don't have. And I repent before the Lord and say, Lord, that's the old nature, the selfish nature. Well, that guy's got more than me. I wish he would just give me a little bit of his. We fight back when we think we were wronged. We fight back. Oh, you wronged me. You offended me. I'm going to leave the church. We do everything to satisfy me. It's about my pleasure and me alone. We envy those who have what we think we deserve. We're upset when we have been overlooked. How often have you been overlooked? Schoolyard picking. I didn't get picked. Why didn't I get picked? I should be playing first team. I'm only playing the B team now. How many of us have been there? We hate suffering of any kind. We hate it. We don't want to suffer. But the Bible tells us through suffering, we will inherit the promises. Selfish nation says, no, I don't want to suffer. I want to have it easy. We attempt to work ourselves into positions of perceived power and control. We climb the little corporate ladder. We jump through the hoops. We do all the things so that the pastor can notice me. And maybe I'll become a leader. We're obsessed about what's best for us. We demand more than we serve and take more than what we can give. This is the sin nature. It's ugly, hey? It's lelik. It's vieslik. We want to be first and not last. I'm first in line. I see that nature. I mean, when it comes to food, I see that nature come out very quickly. I was with 300 elders. I see that with them. Is the food there? It's like... it's the line here, hey? Oh, the line started here. We do it. It's a selfish nature. We do it. We want to be right. We want to be noticed. We want to be affirmed. We judge those that offend us rather than forgive them. We want a predictable, satisfying, and easy life. It's because it's about me, you know. We do this because we are full of ourselves. I once said this, and I will say it again. You can't even swallow your own pride because you're too full of yourself. I'm so full of pride in my heart. It's not about the brother. It's not about the sister. It's about me. Because I'm selfish. And that's the lie that Satan sold Adam and Eve. That's the lie, the biggest lie of sin, that we could be like the Creator. But this is not the way of the kingdom. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 quickly. This is the way of the kingdom. And He, Jesus, died for all. That those who live might no longer live for themselves. This is the way of the kingdom. I don't live for myself, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. My gift is not for me to make me look good. The gift that God's given you is not for you. It's for other people. Okay, so... don't worry. We'll pray for healing just now. Who's got the gift of healing? Let's do it. Galatians chapter 2:20. Paul writes this. One of my favorite verses. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Do you have it? Is it there? Cool. I, Paul, says this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, the new life that I have, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says, I'm dead. Can you imagine a dead person having any aspiration to any of the things that I just mentioned? Any of the things? Well, I want to be first. No, you're dead. I'm offended. No, you're dead. How can a dead man be offended? So how dead are you? Is maybe the question we need to ask this morning. How dead are you? Can you be deader than dead? Like D-E-A-D, that dead. How dead are you? And when it comes to these things, there's this crunch that you sometimes see. When these things are happening, then you realize, my goodness, honestly, there is so much of me still in me. There's so little of Christ in me. So, what we do as sinners, we replace the awe and bigness of our Creator with something in creation. It's one of the biggest sins that we do. We take what all this glory that we have to give God, we actually replace it with something in creation. We look at that. We start worshiping whatever. My sunglasses, my car, my wife, my kids, my house, my whatever. We start worshiping those things. And all this awe, and God meant those things to look beautiful. God says, channel all this that you see, that beauty that you see outside. I want you to channel it back to me. Because it's about me. Your gift that I've given you, it's for my glory. I want you to channel that back to me. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 says this. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. We start worshiping ourselves. We spend more time in spas and to look good. And listen, I don't mind. My wife loves spending, doing her hair, and I love it when she does that for me. But if that's the only place that you spend, then there's a problem. Who are you doing it for? Why are you spending endless hours? And I don't want to look across this congregation, because some of you spend a lot of time in a lot of sports and a lot of things. Why? Is my question. You spend a lot of time in the gym to look good for you, to look good for Jesus. Have you thought about that? Have you actually thought about that? And I know this sounds offensive because it flies in the face of what the world is teaching. But this is the biggest lie that Satan has sold Adam and Eve. Sure. We replace awe and worship of God in our hearts with awe of self. But God gave gifts. So let's get into that. God gave His Son to die for us. John 3:16. It might be up there. God gave His Son. That's the biggest gift that He could give. Sorry, I almost tripped over my slip-slop there. Shouldn't be wearing slip-slops. Romans 6 verse 17 says this. Look at this quickly. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin become obedient from the heart to be standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. He says, give yourself, give your body to Jesus. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time? What fruit does that bring? From the things of which you are now ashamed, the end of these things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. You see, there's one road that leads to death. And all these things, just doing it, the self-gratification, that leads to death. But he says, if there's a fruit that is lasting, a fruit of righteousness. You see, the Bible says that we train ourselves in righteousness. But you can also, if you can train yourself in righteousness, you can train yourself in evil. You can do that. For the wages of sin is death. But, there we go again, the free gift of God is eternal life. That's the biggest gift. eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the biggest gift that he has given us. You see, it's only grace that can change. It's the cross of Christ. It's the center of everything. This is the pattern. This is how God builds. This is the way of the kingdom. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the one that inspires all awe and deserves all praise and glory. So we need to change our sin nature. The selfish, it's all about me nature. Sin caused us to want what is only God's. Sin caused us to want the position that belongs to God. Sin caused us to be too committed to our plans. Sin caused us to work hard to build our kingdoms. Sin caused us to write our own rules and follow our own way. Sin caused us to be independent rather than to be interdependent. You don't belong to yourself, you belong to one another, the Bible says. Sin wants us to run from church rather to church. Sin wants us to be removed from the body and do our own thing rather than be part of something way bigger and better. That's what sin wants. Sin wants us to practice our little gift all by ourselves. I am prophet so-and-so and you will come and listen to me. No. Prophet so-and-so, come and link in with the body and be an example to everybody. Be a blessing to the body. Sin says they don't need you or deserve you. Sin wants the whole pie, you see. Sin wants the whole pie. Sin doesn't want a little piece. I don't even want the pie to be cut. I want everything. What am I trying to get to this morning? Looking back at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Grace was given to us, it says in Ephesians 4. Maybe look at that quickly. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What is the gift of Christ? Eternal life. The gift that he gave is the gift that he received. He received the Holy Spirit and he says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I can do nothing within the church. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you faith. He's the one that does everything in your life. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, Jesus, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to all men. Grace was given. Even in the distribution of the gifts, grace was given. Not just grace to be saved, but God enables you to do the work on planet Earth while you're alive. Christ received the Spirit as a gift and gave it to us according to his measure. He decided the slice of the pie, not you and me. It is Christ's gift. He gave these gifts to us to build the body up in love. But dear friends, this is the cross part. This is the dying part. We all need to die to self and our agendas. Every single day, I have to lay down my life. I have to kill the old man every single day. I know that even in baptism, you are dead. It's like when you would bury somebody, you would lay him down. And that's a significant part of your life as a Christian. So if you're not baptized, I want to encourage you to be baptized by full immersion, under the water, not sprinkling. I don't sprinkle a little bit of sand on somebody to cover the body. I cover the body with sand, 6 feet under. Problem is the old nature comes out. When I squeeze the tube and there's nothing written on that tube and I don't know what's in there, how do I know what's inside? I squeeze it. So when the pressure comes in your life and you get squeezed, you'll see the content that comes out. And God's going to turn up the heat maybe for you this year. Maybe God's going to squeeze you a little bit. What's going to come out is my question. We need to die to self and our agendas. We need to look to Jesus, the one that started our faith, the one that completed it, will complete it. We need to get back into the position he assigned for us. Are you maybe playing out of position? There's nothing as frustrating to see a rugby player play out of position. It's nothing. I mean, it's usually when somebody gets sent off, there's a yellow card, and then somebody else must go play in that position. It's just... It's just not working. It's not gelling. Are you playing in position? And that's the thing that we're going to look at this year. What is your position? And are you playing in that position? And when you play in that position, give 100%. But this is a daily thing, the crucifying of the flesh, putting down the sin nature, to truly say like Paul, that I have been crucified. This will also help to not look to the flesh, or to the left or the right, but stay focused on the prize. When you run a race, I'm all on to for Zolabad. Zolabad het gestrip omdat Zolabad omgekyk het. Vir julle wat te jonk is, dan moet op YouTube iewers wees. Gaan kyk vir Zola. Google Zola Bud. Okay. Mary Dekker het haar nie getrip nie. Dis al wat ek sê. Jy het op slow-mo daai video gekyk. This is the thing that when you start looking around and you're not focused. You're not focused. Johan, as jy die hele tyd rond gaan kyk as jy fiets ry, gaan daar iets gebeur. Wat gaan gebeur, Johan? Verduidelik vir ons presies wat gaan gebeur, Johan. Jy gaan georiënteer word, een teen die oor, een teen die teer. Oh my God. If you start looking around, you've got to be focused. Same with Jesus. Same with this race. Same with this race as a Christian. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. What's the prize? It's Jesus, eternal life. So, in ending, the biggest gift that God can give to us is His Spirit. And we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to trust the Holy Spirit to kill that old nature. We need to ask the Holy Spirit every single day, Lord, let me not be that selfish man, that I don't want to exalt the creature above the Creator. Let's get the order right again. Not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. To seek God's kingdom and His righteousness first. To serve His purposes in the church, in the body. As each part does its bit. Ephesians 4:16 says. As each part does its bit. I want to end with two verses. Because we're going to look at it. Most probably in the next few weeks, we'll definitely look at these verses. Paul writes these two verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pursue love. I mean, he's telling them off the back of 1 Corinthians 13. So if you read these two in conjunction, you've got to understand. He ends chapter 12. He says, if you don't do this in love, and then he puts that love chapter in there. And then he continues in chapter 14. He says, pursue love. And then he says this, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. There's a desire that God has raised up in your heart for spiritual gifts. And there's a still more excellent way, and then he talks about that. But chapter 12, the last verse, it says this, but earnestly, or eagerly, some translation says, desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still a more excellent way. And then he says, the way is love, 1 Corinthians 13. But there should be a desire, and I want to stir up a desire in your heart for spiritual gifts. I remember there's this poster that is the man pointing, and he says, the American army needs you. The body of Christ needs you. The army of Christ needs you. And some of you are like, that finger is not pointing at me. But it is. I want to tell you that each one of you, you're a significant part of the body. You might feel insignificant, but you're a significant part. And I want you to desire eagerly the spiritual gifts and pursue it and say, Jesus, I'm going to put this lie that I need to be exalted. I'm going to put it behind me. That big lie that was told. Or that I'm worthless and I'm not even mentioned or even I'm overlooked. You know, in the schoolyard pick, they don't pick me because my gift is insignificant. Your gift is not insignificant. You're needed. Let's close our eyes.